Welcome back to Beards and Brews, where we watch a movie and we drink about it. Tonight's movie, 1987's The Running Man, and tonight's brew, Mr. Chandler, kick it off.
Tonight's brew, we're going to have Weinstephaner's Vitus. It's a Weizenbock out of Bavaria, Germany. Weinstephaner is actually one of the oldest breweries in the world.
All right, that sounds fantastic. All right, gentlemen, opening thoughts.
The TriStar logo is very nostalgic to see that horse, and it comes a running, and then you get a good chunk of that scrolling exposition.
Oh yeah, you know it's going to be a great movie when you have to read a little bit of a novel just before your picture.
Yeah. So apparently in the year 2017, the TV show Running Man is the tits. It's American Idol with murder.
So that's what it needs.
So this movie opens up. We're in a helicopter with a really nice Commodore 64 up front, and that's where they get all their information from. And behind the guy sitting in the background, you have footage of what could be the city of Los Angeles or wherever in the background. From there, we find out that they're creeping up on like a little bit of a food riot. So I guess in the future, there's no food, there's no anything. So when they have a supply drop, everybody kind of bum rushes the area. We kind of think that this little helicopter is just for observation, maybe just riot control.
Now, this is something that I thought was pretty interesting, because you get your introduction to Arnold here with his character Ben Richards, and they go out of their way to make sure that you know that Ben Richards is a good guy.
He's
through and through, he is the baby face. There is nothing that this guy is going to do that's negative. And he disobeys a direct order to fire on these unarmed people. All kinds of like turmoil breaks out in the cockpit. I get very confused because they beat him up, subdue him, and then they say, "You're going to fry for this."
Well, that's one of the issues I have with this movie. Well, is that... Yeah. Later on, you realize it was kind of a setup for what and who, and for what reason would you pick on Arnold?
Yeah, that's,
I don't understand.
That's why we need a prequel.
Also,
just hey, the man.
You're on top of something there.
But you're right, and what I noticed, first of all, Arnold just whips ass in this helicopter for a few moments, and I don't think anybody's piloting. It's just a co-pilot trying to like throw some punches behind him. And when they finally get him down, he hangs out of the helicopter for a little bit, and then he gets pulled back in, then Bennett from Commando knocks him out with the butt of his gun.
Yeah, just blap. Did they intend to pin this on him all along, and he just got wise? I mean, had he shot them, would he have still gotten blamed for it?
Or if not him, someone else, you know?
Yeah, I was really confused by this. Now, I've watched this movie a million times, and I never once really thought about that until I was doing this for the review. I was like, wait a minute, they were going to pin it on him to begin with, so what the fuck?
They were going to pin it on somebody.
Yeah, it just happened to be Arnold, because the other guy called off sick or something, who knows.
Well, after that, he gets locked up, and we get transported to a montage of Arnold being manly, even sporting that beard that you had talked about earlier.
This is absolutely right. This is look number one for Arnold. I call it Prison Beard Arnold.
It's fucking rugged. He looks amazing. That dude is in incredible shape. Please excuse me and my gigantic biceps. I just want to carry this fucking I-beam. It's an entire I-beam. He's just cruising with it, like, whatever.
Not only is he just cruising around with it, he throws it away like it's a stick for a dog. He just tosses it.
These people are starving. Where is he getting the nutrition to continuously feed these muscles to carry around fucking I-beams? I mean,
he's
shit.
Probably eating the other prisoners.
Oh, now you got me thinking of Total Recall. Whenever the chick walks up and grabs his dick, and she's like, "What have you been feeding this thing?" And he goes, "Blondes."
Absolutely confirmed cannibal.
There it is. They have terrible security here. The dude, to get the password to escape this place, just walks up behind the guy typing on the computer and watches him do it.
It'd be kind of like you're trying to like punch in your stuff at an ATM and some guy is just like straight up front next
hovering,
to you watching
yeah.
you do it. Yeah.
Nah, that's cool. Whatever. 93X1. Go on. Get out of here, you crazy kids.
Got you now.
And they don't even bother to explain this setup revolution, because cuts to Arnold fighting his partner just out of nowhere. And these dudes are slugging each other.
I think they were trying to like, oh, make a distraction while we do our business, but none of that business was explained, nor was the setup of, hey, let's cause a distraction for that setup.
But was it even a distraction? As soon as he started beating him up, they started grabbing the guards. So couldn't they just grab the guards to begin with?
Like, this movie happens pretty quickly just to get him in that running man suit.
The suit. Do you have any take on this scene, Chandler?
Not on that specific scene. I really like the quick little flash forward that we have in between the helicopter and actually getting him there. That's dead air.
The guards watching these guys, the security force, are basically this movie's equivalent of stormtroopers. They can't shoot, they can't do anything, and they're just goofy.
Well, I mean, I don't even think they're really used to a prisoner like Arnold. I mean, most of these people are malnourished, nobody, just toting like rocks around. Then you have this super built Austrian guy. He's like, come on, guys, let's get out of here. And this guy's, like you said, he's toting half a building around on his shoulder, like whatever. And so when he starts to kick ass, you know, there's nothing to stop him.
He's just a one-man wrecking machine. So he gets out with the password changer because they have a perimeter set up and these collars that if they pass the perimeter, the collar around their neck explodes. Mm-hmm. And they make a joke earlier. It's like, lose your head over this, that, or the other. That was pretty good. And then you get to see one dude, in fact, lose his head. It looks viciously gruesome. Just blah, explodes like Gallagher hitting a watermelon.
Yeah, I don't remember the character's name, but I wrote him down as not Antonio Banderas. He didn't quite listen to the gentleman, like his friends and everything. He decides to book it a little too soon, gets his head blown clean off.
And then right after that, literally 5 seconds later, everything's deactivated or whatever, and it's good to go.
Yeah. No one's even sad that he's gone.
It's gone after. Oh, man, whatever. Yeah. And then they escape. And the soundtrack to that escape music reminds me of Final Fantasy VII. Whenever you're going to the Shinra building, and for a split second, it gives you a view of the city, and it looks like something directly from Blade Runner.
Yeah, but instead it's just like a big matte painting with a really shitty TV imposed on a billboard right in the corner.
The bottom. They escape this place, and they meet up with Barrett guy. Yeah, he's just got on a Barrett, and that's the choice of a revolution. You know, pop open a soda, and they drink it and put on a beret, freeze frame while a smile, and you got your revolution commercial.
What else are you going to do in a revolution? You got to put on a beret.
Absolutely.
Then it shows you an ad for The Running Man, made from scenes of The Running Man film that you will see in the movie.
That's foreshadowing.
And that's when we find out that The Running Man is hosted by none other than Family Feud's Richard Dawson.
Correct.
Love that spot for him here.
He does one of the best performances in this film.
I'll say
it's the best performance of the film.
He's so fun to watch. He's so over the top, but he is a game show host, so he still has those isms where he can just play with the crowd and stuff.
And yeah, I love how he's still kind of in his Richard Dawson character all through the whole thing. He's like kissing the ladies on the cheek or whatever, you know, being Richard Dawson.
He's got a couple one-liners too, and we'll get to that whenever him and Arnold get to meet. That character really carries the other side of this film. Arnold's got the action. He's got it. But for everything else in this movie, they really rely on him, and he knocks it out of the park. The scenes where he talks on the phone to the agents or the higher-ups, and the dude's trying to do his makeup, and he's like slapping him away. It's amazing.
Yeah. He's 100% showbiz about it.
You get to see Arnold dressed as Bob the Builder.
Yeah, that's look number two. That's Construction Arnold. The best way to disguise a 6-foot giant Austrian man is give him a tiny toolbox and a tiny construction head. Perfect.
Works for me. I was confused. You get his delivery for the line that he gives to the revolutionaries is just like it was delivered from Conan the Barbarian. He's like, a bunch of low foreheads who think that you can change the world with dreams and talk. And it's just exactly like something from Conan, the way he does it. Back to Killian, he emerges from his limo, and you learn that he's like a fuck nugget in less than a minute.
Yeah, he even has his right-hand man is actually Kurt Fuller, who was the mayor's right-hand man from Ghostbusters 2, just being a total shithead in that movie, too, just like a big ass-kisser.
That's what he does. In Wayne's World, same character.
Absolutely.
And you get the guy, he slips in the mop water. And he's like, oh, don't worry about it, man, it's cool, it's no big deal. walks into the elevator and says, if you don't fire that guy by Monday, it's pretty
good.
You're
going to be mopping the floors.
So, yeah, he walks into the building. He totally fires that guy. But this is the first peek we get into Jesse the Body Ventura's character, Captain Freedom.
Captain Freedom.
He is the best guy in the entire world. I just love seeing his stupid fucking hair and his stupid fucking suit every time he was on screen. It was fantastic.
Not only that, but just the way he carries himself in this role, he's having such a good time being himself.
Oh, absolutely. But he's like being a Billy Mays version of Jesse Ventura, because they always have him like in an ad for something, or he's trying to do some kind of like exercise video.
He's got his little workout show that the lady comes home. We get introduced to the female character of this, and for whatever reason, she comes home, she puts on the news, changes it to her workout station, gets dressed into a black negligee to do sit-ups.
I mean, what do you wear?
Well, you can't exercise if you ain't cute.
I mean, yeah, and then you get Raw Deal Arnold walking up.
Oh, yeah, shortly after we get the next Arnold look on TV, they show Cornstache Arnold now, so it's number three.
I'm really looking forward to the next version. The next version's my favorite.
And the lady is like, oh, man, you're Ben Richards, the butcher of Bakersfield or whatever. And he's like, I'm a good guy. You're wrong. I didn't do it. We're going to go to Hawaii.
He's more like, I'm Ben Richards. Lifts her up with her exercise equipment.
He rips it out of the floor. The Bowflex that she is using is ripped out of the floor. Just floorboards are coming up because I said, please. And he just rips the shit out of the floor.
She's just like, okay.
Her response. This is a movie it's not hard to review. It's hard to go from like that scene to that scene because so much happens in each little thing, and their faces is what sells a lot of this. Because all she responds back with is, okay. But her face is like, oh shit, don't kill me.
What if that happened to you? Somebody fronting on you and you realize it's Arnold Schwarzenegger.
They scan past the TSA using her multipass, Lulu Dallas, and the chats between Arnold Schwarzenegger and the Maria Conchita are solid. She's trying to talk him out of kidnapping her the entire time, and she has this one little line where she goes, I'm going to puke on you.
Yeah, yep. His next look I call Tropical Arnold.
And he goes, in this shirt, who could tell? He takes off running because she smacks him in the crotch and basically gives him up, like, this is the bad guy. This little van, it's like a smaller van, comes driving onto the tarmac where Arnold is trying to escape. And Arnold gets netted by the network.
Huh?
It wraps him up pretty good, and his stunt double takes a hell of a tumble. It looks pretty nasty, because he's running full bore whenever he gets netted. And you can see that he can't get his arms down, and he just has to eat it. We get the foreshadowing of the reuse of a line that's pretty good whenever Killian's character goes, one of us is in big trouble, and then he ends up getting Arnold to sign up for the show Running Man instead of doing a prison sentence where he would just basically be executed. At least with this, he has a chance to survive,
or so they say.
Or so he thinks. Yeah,
wink wink, nudge nudge. You get a shot of Maria Conchita watching some hashtag fake news.
Legitimate fake news.
Yeah. You get a cool musical number and an introduction to some of the gladiators, aka stalkers, as well as the fan base when it like pans around from Dynamo, Sub-Zero, Captain Freedom, you're all's personal favorites.
Yeah, this really just made me want to go watch an episode of American Gladiators.
It's all in the chin dimple, guys, right there. Boop.
I like my men big and cuddly. That's why I like Sub-Zero. but the musical numbers, just a lot of kicking and spinning, and you get Arnold walking by in front of Maria Conchita's character.
And yeah, she so happens just to work there, too. It's very coincidental.
Yeah, it's a whole lot of, hey, look at all this movie.
The whole reason he goes to her apartment, by the way, is to look for his brother, which he never gives a fuck about for the rest of the movie.
That's true. Like, he could be, like, thrown into, like, the same Running Man thing, or in prison, or dead at this point.
He never mentions him again.
Well, I mean, imagine going to your brother's house. He's not there, but there's a smoking hot chick in his place. And also right. just a stack of money, which is just a bunch of $1 bills.
And contraband clothing.
Ooh.
Got that MTV shirt or something in there.
I think it said
gonna
cool
have to
as
confiscate
ice.
Those.
But this lady who is standing with Maria Conchita's character as Arnold walks by. Yeah, I started thinking of like a banana for some reason.
Maria Chiquita.
Chiquita, yeah, I was like, I'm screwing this up. So he's walking by, and the friend is super morbid. She goes, oh man, at least he didn't rape you, then kill you. And if that's not bad enough, she pauses and then comes in and goes, or kill you, then rape you. And kind of has like a fetish arousal look on her face. So I can only assume she's into some kinky shit.
She goes down the line pretty proactively.
Whichever order he likes.
She's holding up one of those signs that
she was
here.
She just keeps going.
We also get to hear Killian's big line, who loves you and who do you love? Delivered with such, what's a good word for that?
Such conviction we haven't heard since George Thorogood.
I can go with that. We also meet the number one fan, who is this sweet, sweet little old lady. And you get the opening scene re-spliced to frame Arnold. They bring him out after showing you that he was, in fact, the killer from the Butcher of Bakersfield and blah, 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 which we all know is hashtag fake news. He comes out in his jumpsuit, and they magic mic it off of him. So there are Velcro prison jumpsuits.
Well, when you got to get it off in a flash.
We have Whitman, Price, and Haddad, last season's winners. Remember them? And we're treated to these three fellows sitting on different beaches, all celebrating having supposedly won last season in The Running Man.
Yeah, they supposedly won the contest, and they're in paradise still in their stupid jumpsuits.
Yeah, because why not? So Arnold's getting ready to be launched down this tunnel and introduced into the world of The Running Man. But first, he's got a treat. You are reintroduced to Harold Weiss and William Laughlin. These two characters were Arnold's buddies from the beginning that helped him escape and met up with the Revolution. And they shoot them down the tunnel as a team. But before Arnold is shot down the tunnel, he delivers his most famous line of all time. Killian, I'll be back. And Killian, mwah, mwah. Richard Dawson knocks it out of the park with only in a rerun. And then shoots his ass down that tunnel. Oh my God. I lost my shit and started laughing so much at that.
Like, he had that line in his pocket and he just threw it in Arnold's face.
Yes. Then we get the scene of the bobsled from Cool Runnings going down this tunnel. It's spinning, gets to the bottom, and the only thing missing once it gets to the bottom is John Candy.
Is that two straight weeks with a Cool Runnings reference?
I was going to say, at this point, it's just Cool Running Man.
Oh. Nice.
Boo.
Cool Runnings, man. Just a completely different movie. But this tunnel with the sled, I can only imagine that in this world, this universe that they're in, there are other versions of this that are safer for paying customers.
Well, hell, they even had the board game, which I gave out probably a dozen times.
Yeah, I assume that was like Mousetrap, though. You're just moving your little guy around. Oh, here comes Buzzsaw. There went my arm.
I think I heard Chandler say that he'd buy that for a dollar.
I'd buy that.
We skip back to Maria as she finds the real footage from the Bakersfield massacre. She gets caught while she is getting this, and that's the last you see of her for a little bit.
Well, she probably went through the same thing that Arnold did. Like, they threw him into a room and this gas start pouring out of the walls. I mean, who knows?
We go back to the number one fan, as she likes to say, I want to pick my guy, and my husband wants so-and-so and this, that, and the other, but I like him big and cuddly. I want Sub-Zero. And this man of Far East descent and a professor to boot comes out wielding plastic hockey gear with a stick of doom.
Yeah, imagine Odd Job from Goldfinger in a hockey mask. It's the same thing.
That is the nail on the head, sir.
Yeah, that's what we perfect. Got.
Jesse Ventura starts, you know, giving that, the gladiators, blah, blah, blah. But the face that Jesse Ventura makes after he gets cut off by Richard Dawson, it's confused. I don't know if he was really supposed to give this spiel and Richard Dawson just ad-lib cut him off, because it looks perfect. He's trying to give this spiel about going down memory lane and Richard Dawson's having none of it. Just no-sells him, cuts him off, starts talking to someone else about people getting out into the field. It's a flawless little... It's one of those things to where if I'm going to recommend something, it's just that face. But he interrupts him and you cut to stage one, the ice rink. You get Sub-Zero coming out against the boys, and he body check after body check after body check knocks these guys around until he gets the smallest fellow with glasses on his stick, actually, and shoots him into a goal.
I have to admit, this first fight scene's pretty terrible. Like, it's just literally body check after body check. They just fall down, and that's pretty much it. And then he totally, like you said, he hockey pucks the guy right into the goal thing. I mean,
it's 1987. What do the kids like? It's Wayne Gretzky, right?
They love Odd Job on Ice. I don't know.
That's exactly what this scene is. It's just Odd Job on Ice. They give him explosive pucks instead of a hat. Arnold somehow manages to find a piece of loose steel connected to razor wire that he then magically wraps around, chokes him to death with it, severing his arteries in his throat, and he dies. He gives a beautiful one-liner here. He is Sub-Zero! Now, plane zero! And then it goes into...
So bad.
I can't believe he said plane zero? That's awful!
Yeah. Yeah. And then he even has to reference right after it, that's a real pain in the neck. Just, he's got to have two for it, because the first one wasn't good enough.
Well, if he doesn't get you with one, he'll get you with the other.
But shortly after, like, everybody's totally shocked. The audience is just in awe that Sub-Zero finally met his end, that he's now Plane Zero, of course. They decide to speak to another person out of the audience, and the guy just couldn't make up his mind which of the stalkers he'd like, so it's either Dynamo or Buzzsaw. Then Richard Dawson's just like, you know what? You can have them both! Woo!
It's a twofer!
So they release Buzzsaw and Mr. Lightbright.
They also toss Maria from the West Side into the mix after they run this slander piece on her that is just hilarious.
It's pretty bad. Like, even for those standards, they're just making shit up.
At the end, he nails it when he goes, she slept with two, maybe three men in a year.
just straight up, just like, oh man, she's like not just a whore, but a super whore.
Yeah, like, oh man, two to three dudes in a year, look out.
And none of them were me.
Oh, that's, yes. We get to hear about the uplink, because they gotta get the plot in here. The uplink.
Yeah, the revolution's still going, guys. Still chipping away.
Don't forget, but we got a pirate radio station. Gotta broadcast the truth with the uplink. The uplink. The uplink. They say it so much that Arnold even makes fun of it. He goes, I'm going to uplink your ass!
Oh, yeah, then they, like he's trying to go one way, and they just want to go to, like, the broadcasting thing. They run away from him, and he realizes he's not behind him. He's like, God damn it.
He has to turn around and go jogging in that direction. And guess what? Maria has just been put into the field. Mm-hmm. Arnold and these two have been out for roughly an hour, let's just say. Well, bingo, bango, bongo, she's right with them. They meet up. Huzzah. Because of plot. This is where we also meet the motorcycle riding, chainsaw wielding Buzzsaw. He looks like a buff pug dog.
Yeah, Buzzsaw is pretty fun. I like Buzzsaw.
For some reason, I just want to keep calling him Buzzsaw McGraw, just because it rhymes.
Wasn't there a character like Buzzsaw McGraw? What was that? Quick Draw McGraw, that's what it was.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
Okay. So yeah, she gets thrown into the mix. You know, she could have been in Hawaii right now, but, you know, Arnold even had the shirt for it, but she fucked it up.
Oh, that was such a good line later. I loved it. Then we also meet Dynamo, the operatic rainbow bright wannabe in a bedazzled Barbie car.
I saw him and I'm like, this guy looks like a fucking Christmas tree. And then immediately after that, the guy said something about a Christmas tree.
Leave that in, please.
No. Oh, it's staying.
That was good. Buzzsaw mortally wounds William and drags Arnold around a little bit before falling victim to his own chainsaw. When he loses a test of strength against Arnold, they have a little back and forth when he's like, this chainsaw's a part of me, and I'm going to make it a part of you. And then...
Yeah. 5 minutes.
Yeah, 5 minutes, the bone saw's ready. But he twists the chainsaw down between this fella's legs, and he goes, no, you keep it. And he runs it up between his legs, and the guy goes from screaming in a deep voice to the high-pitched voice, indicating that he has removed his manhood. It's a fun scene. I would be shocked, especially, you know, it being an Arnold film, that you can see a light misting of blood on the actual Buzzsaw character. Not on Arnold. He never gets bloody. But on the Buzzsaw character, while the chainsaw is hitting him, he gets a light dusting.
Well, you can't mess up the look of the Unitarnold.
See? That's... Unit. Weiss gets the secret code that he makes sure to have Maria, her character, memorize. And good thing, since he is literally killed by a lightning bolt cast by level 3 wizard Dynamo, dealing 8d6 lightning damage.
Oh, Jesus.
For all of 2 seconds, he's a hero before he is unceremoniously killed. Just done. Just bzz, there he is. History. You get Arnold saving Maria, who is now suddenly outside in what looks to be a very compromised position. Perhaps maybe light bulb head is going to rape her.
He just had a really good idea. Not the rape. No.
Yeah. So he zaps her, and Ride of the Valkyries comes on as he wrecks his Mad Max version of Kit from Knight Rider trying to chase Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's a very low budget scene.
He flips it like a turtle, flips on its side, then he immediately turns into a giant man baby.
Go to commercial. I've got no power. And Arnold comes over with a big pipe, like he's gonna smash this dude's head. He's like, no, I won't kill an innocent person. I'm not sadistic like you. And everyone's like, boo, kill him, don't be a punk.
And even I was like, boo.
Yeah.
He should have just been like, lights out.
See? Nice. That's what I'm talking about. So after that, we get the panicked Killian now trying to buy off Arnold during the halftime show. This is a quote from Arnold that I have used since I have seen this movie, and I love it.
It's true. He uses this even without any context.
I just enjoy it. I live to see you eat that contract, but I hope you save room, because I'm going to run my fist into your stomach and break your goddamn spine!
And then he just, like, spikes the camera into the ground.
Exactly. And it cuts to Fireball, the old favorite stalker guy here. And he has a jetpack and an Elon Musk flamethrower.
And it's just fucking Jim Brown. Just appears out of nowhere. Jim Brown.
It goes back to the number one fan, and you have Killian speaking to her, trying to get her revved up. And he's like, well, who do you predict will make the next kill? And blowing everyone's mind, she goes, I pick Ben Richards. Ben Richards
the next kill. I remember this, yeah.
Yeah, buddy.
But she has a killer line herself, though.
Oh, yeah.
She does. Would you like to deliver it?
That boy's one mean motherfucker.
There it is. So sassy. It's almost as sassy as the taste of that new beer that you reviewed.
Oh, are you talking about this Weinstefaner Vitus?
Weinstefaner!
Thanks, Arnold. This is a Weisenbach from Bavaria. Weinstefaner is actually one of the oldest breweries in the world. They actually claim to be the oldest brewery in the world, but some people have some things to say about that. This is one of their Weisenbachs. Super fruity, a whole lot of banana and apricot flavors in there. Lots of yeasty esters. Really good. Just an incredible beer.
The description that you used of yeasty esters makes me definitely not want to drink not just this beer, just beer in general.
We'll get you there. That'll be a good thing. Can we for a second talk about how dystopian the 80s were? Like, what did they expect was going to happen between 1987 and 2017?
Oh, the big one, the big LA or California earthquake.
Yes, that left 400 blocks in shambles, and now is the set of The Running Man.
400 blocks that you can traverse in 3 hours.
the '80s were, I feel like all over the '80s, not even just this movie, but you've got like Mad Max and Blade Runner and Terminator, RoboCop. It was a bleak looking future. I guess the Cold War and Ronald Reagan, everybody just had everybody down.
Yeah, Reagan and Gorbachev totally just took the fun out of the '80s for everybody.
That's why film had to be so entertaining. We'll have cops that walk around and shoot people like Buck Rogers. Yeah. So Fireball reemerging on the scene. He lands in this back locker room with the character of Ben and Amber, which is Maria and Arnold. And he flames the area, dividing the two. And we're treated to what really happened to last season's winners. Spoilers, they're dead. Them sitting on the beach, it was bullshit. All of it. Fireball moves in to kill Maria, but Arnold pulls the gas line and says, how about a light? Tosses a flare in, burns him up in this. It's a fairly decent little Bernie explosion scene. And he just has to get the other one-liner.
Yep, the second one. Behind.
It's just, it's not good. He's like overdoing it.
Well, at that point in his career, that's what he is.
One-liner, like, man.
Right.
Yeah, but they gotta be tasteful. There's other movies, especially like Last Action Hero. When he does them, they're phenomenal. Every single one is just spot on. Hits right where it should.
Well, that movie's a big parody of these kinds of movies.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, we kind of glossed over the fact that Arnold just appeared in that room.
True.
Oh, yeah.
He was in the ceiling, even though he was way behind Marie at that point.
It makes no sense. He comes down like Alien and pulls the gas line out of dude's flamethrower tank.
And he's like, you're fired.
You gotcha. Oh, my gas line. Oh.
Yeah.
We get Jesse Ventura walking into the room with it turned up to 11. This guy is hamming it up.
Oh, he's having a great time with his, body-sized toaster that he's wearing.
It looks ridiculous. And he even points with his left arm. And it's got all this gadgetry on it. And he looks down at the left arm like, oops, puts it down and then points with his regular arm, complaining about not wanting the gadgetry. He speaks of honor and all these things and how it's a gladiatorial fight.
He don't want all that. He just wants to get back in the ring.
Yeah. I mean, don't we all yearn for the glory days? Glory days. So he gives this speech about glory and honor, and then immediately it goes to him fighting some random guy and some random girl who have CGI overlays on their face to make them look like Maria and Arnold. The bit where he kills the Maria character and throws her into the barbed wire, holy shit, that is great.
The audience would probably feel a little bit bad about that. Like, hey, that's a defenseless lady there. Like,
they want to feel bad, but the announcer that, you know, put her on the stage clearly stated that she was a mega whore. So,
oh, you're right.
Exactly. So that little scene, he breaks her neck, throws her into the barbed wire. It's brutal. This not Arnold, Arnold and him have this epic fight where if you were a pro wrestling fan, you can see Jesse selling so well. It's over the top. It's theatrical. And then he kills the body double of the Arnold character. The people buy it. The fans, you know, watching at home, they erupt. Here it is. Captain Freedom. He's returned and he is triumphant once again. But
the crowd goes wild.
Exactly. And we'll cut to Arnold sitting in the Rebel hideout.
Yeah, about that. The Rebel hideout was inside the 400 blocks of destroyed LA.
The whole time.
Inside the game show quarantine.
Just hiding right under their noses.
That's... I hate this.
So you find out that Arnold isn't happy that he's been killed on TV because, oh no, now he knows he can't get loose. He's too big of a risk. They talk about stealing the signal and broadcasting the truth. And Maria's character takes out the Bakersfield tape and is like, here, why don't you air this?
Oh, yeah.
Goes, well, where did you hide that? And she goes, don't ask. Okay, I think we know what happened. Convicts call it keystring. She has
no
straw tape.
Leave it up to the imagination, goddammit. You saw the guy in the background trying to smell it.
they suddenly go into the broadcast station where they pirate the signal and they broadcast the real videos during these cut up Killian segments where he's basically telling on himself for doing all these things. And the guys are trying to turn it off in the main booth and they kick in the doors and point at him with guns. And this random dude, I think you said, you referred to him as Dweeva Zappa or whatever.
Oh yeah, that's Frank Zappa's son, Dweezil.
Little Dweezil points a gun and says, "Don't touch that dial." It's bad. It has,
and that just reminded me of UHF.
I got a lot of UHF when I was thinking about this.
Go ahead. I saw Dweezil Zappa and Mick Fleetwood in the credits, and I was like, where the hell were they?
Yeah, Dweezil was a youngster when he was in this movie.
Yeah, he would have had to have been.
He was Mr. Beret.
Yes.
Oh.
His little red beret.
It couldn't have been a green beret because Arnold eats green berets for breakfast.
Oh.
Arnold spouts, "It's showtime," and commenced the shooting. You get the resurgence of Dynamo, a.k.a. Lightbright, and he again tries to rape this woman.
Okay, can we stop right there?
Yeah.
How did he get his pants off?
I don't know.
I noticed his pants were off,
but I didn't know how that happened or anything. I wasn't going to question it, just thought it was me.
Yeah, he was just trying to like straddle her, and his pants were like around his ankles.
Yeah.
I'm used to movies doing, like, if they're in wardrobe, that one pair of underwear is only worn for that scene, so it's top quality white. These underwear look like those were just his underwear that he had been wearing since whenever.
So you're telling me not even the director knew how he got his pants off?
No, they were just off. Like, maybe he was just really trying to rape.
He improvised that part.
But this man is killed by a sprinkler system. She shoots her gun, not at him, but at the ceiling in a very Ninja Turtles 1980s.
This was the Uzi with the scope, right?
Correct.
Yeah, I was going to bring up, she couldn't have seen that sprinkler from 5 feet away without that scope on her Uzi.
It's a good thing it was there.
Had to dial it in. So she shoots a sprinkler system, and water kills him. That seemed so insanely dangerous to have something on that if just water gets on it, you're done for.
It's a pretty big oversight.
Yeah.
Well,
this is a heavy guy, too, we're talking about. So you know he's going to be sweating.
He's getting the meat sweats.
Yes. If he's sweating into this outfit, at what point is it going to short circuit and just burn him up?
You're right. At what point would it Steve Gutenberg short circuit?
Ah. Then we get a lot of hip firing of guns with exaggerated death scenes leading to the main event of Killian versus Arnold. This is where you get the return of the "one of us is in deep trouble," this time delivered by Arnold. Killian is completely worried and he calls for help, which is his longtime body double and friend, Sven Ole Thornsen. So this fella has been in every movie, well, not every movie, but a lot of Schwarzenegger's films, especially if you want it back to like Predator. When he says "knock knock" and then shoots that fellow with like a 203 grenade in the chest and blows him out the back of the hut, that's him.
He's probably also the guy that took the net in the face and fell down in the tarmac.
In all possibility, yes. And he gives a great line before walking away. He's like, "I've got to go score some steroids." Just wanders off.
No, legitimately wanders off, just meanders away.
Yeah, like, I had to walk in the other room and get my steroids. I'll be back. Whatever. But he just walks down the long tunnel exit slowly. 0% interested in protecting Killian. So Killian goes on to give a spiel.
Zero.
Goes on to give a pretty good spiel about how America is weaned on television and that type of thing. Again, for the dystopian America, it fits perfectly. Schwarzenegger takes him, stuffs him in the Cool Runnings thing, shoots him down the pipe in a scene that reminds me of a bullet leaving a barrel. He is projected hundreds of feet through the air somehow.
It was very Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory whenever Augustine gets shot through the chocolate tube. Yeah, very much that.
But unfortunately, he didn't have the safety net at the end, so he wound up careening out of control into his own face, plastered on a billboard.
Arnold then gives another one-liner. Well, that hit the spot. And it's flat. It's just really flat.
First of all, how did he know?
How does he know he hit? I mean,
like, as soon as the shit hit the fan, the televised event shut off.
Yeah.
So, like, he was just assumed, or he just looked down the tube.
Oh, if you could see that far down the tube.
He's probably dead. He's probably dead. It's okay.
He's got guys on the outside. They let him know. They caught him real quick. Sent him a thing on his pager. It said 911.
His body double's hanging out downstairs with a hoagie, and he watched it happen.
Oh. Then we get a song that's very, very 80s. Just now, yeah. And there's a kiss between Arnold and Maria. And
oh, it's
what
so
else are they
bad.
Gonna do?
When the hell did they decide to hook up? Because he went from saying that he's gonna snap her neck like a chicken, and she was gonna murder him, you know, to get away, hitting him in the nuts and whatnot. And suddenly
they're
besties.
He took that nutshell like a man.
It looked like she really hit him because he looks pissed. So just watch that scene a couple times. It just he looks very like, ooh, you got me.
I don't know about you guys, but I do not buy this whole love story. Because the whole time they're like walking together, he's almost exclusively kind of just grabbing her by the scruff of the neck or by the arm or something, just dragging her around like a doll.
Well, that's the rules of an action movie, though, isn't it? Like a man and a woman survive. If they do survive, then, you know, they kiss at the end.
You own my property now. I have saved you.
Yeah, exactly.
Again, we harken back to Conan. Here, Conan, it's a woman. He's like, ah, let me give you this fur coat, then rape you. There's always Running Man 2.
No, I still want the prequel.
The Running.
I don't care about what happens after this. I want to know what led to it. I want to know what happened in those 30 years.
The man.
Now, you're bringing that up, what happened before. That reminds me of another movie that we haven't reviewed, The Purge. I was always curious of what it would be like to see just The Purge in its prime, and they don't really show that in any of the Purge films, and it breaks my heart because it would be a really, really cool concept to just see chaos. And I think Running Man exemplifies that. Just chaos in the streets. Everyone's homeless and betting, and the only thing they have is this show about murder.
So if they would remake something like Running Man, it should be like chaos in the streets, but Arnold in the sheets.
I agree with that, yes, sir.
Any final thoughts, gentlemen, for The Running Man, 1987?
If you haven't seen an Arnold Schwarzenegger film, pick a different. There are amazing, amazing Arnold Schwarzenegger films out there. Don't let this be your first one. You should have a love for Arnold coming into this, and you can appreciate it more.
I actually thought it was really fun. Definitely, certainly flawed, but it was a fun movie nonetheless. Lots of cameos, not really cameos, but a lot of people where you're like, hey, what's he doing there? And definitely a lot of one-liners that made it just fun to go through.
I have to agree with both of you. This movie is filled to the brim with one-liners to the point where not even Arnold knew what to say next. Like, he just ran out of steam, Bennett, right at the end. And also, I don't like this movie. I don't. I thought it was really flat. One of Arnold's worst acting jobs in his entire career. It just felt like they gave him a line and then he just regurgitated it as flat as possible almost every time. The action's kind of fun. Richard Dawson's a blast. Oh my goodness, he's the best part of this movie.
Agreed.
Other than that, I agree. If you're not an Arnold fan, you're not going to like it. But if you love Arnold, this is another movie in his collection. Anyways, that's the movie for tonight. I want to thank everybody for listening.
Yes, thank you. We love you. Please make sure to hit us on the Twitter.
Our Twitter handle is @BeardsBrewsCast. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and the Twitter, and thank you for listening.
Killian, I'll be back. Only in a rerun. Go!